All right, let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we bless you this evening. Lord, thank you once again for this opportunity to open up the Word of God here at the end of this year. Lord, we thank you for the blessing, God, of this year that you've brought us through. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our life this year. Lord, we thank you for all of the blessings. Lord, we thank you that you've sustained us. Lord, we thank you that you've delivered us. Lord, we thank you that you've touched and healed those broken places in us and you've brought us to this place tonight. Lord, we ask tonight for a work of your Spirit. We pray, God, for an anointing, God, to be upon your word tonight, that you would minister to each and every person here. Lord, I ask for that anointing, oh God, to preach and teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing, that we can hear and receive everything that the Spirit of God is speaking tonight. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, well, glory to God. You know, as we come into the new year tonight, one of the things I believe God wants to speak to you tonight is about how to move forward. And one of the things I love about the Apostle Paul, if you could ever find someone in the Word of God that had a literal 180-degree turn, it's the Apostle Paul. We say, you know, he had that road to Damascus experience. He was walking one way, pursuing after the Christians. He was going to go kill the Christians, imprison the Christians, and torture the Christians. And then Jesus met him on the road, amen? And he was blinded by the light of God, and he met Jesus, and he had a 180-degree turn. How many of you feel like Paul sometimes? Amen. I was saying a few weeks ago, I think it would be very awesome if in the church we started a new tradition. Whenever somebody got saved, we changed their name like Paul did. He went from Saul to Paul. Amen. It would be awesome because then you could point that marker and you say, I'm no longer who I used to be. Amen. I want you to know God still is in the business of changing lives. Amen. God is still in the business of taking the old Saul and making a new Paul. And I don't know where you've been or who you think you've been around, but I want you to know what God's most interested in is changing lives. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Sometimes the church world gets it backwards. Amen. We think that Jesus came so we can build cathedrals and we can build mausoleums and we could put in marble tile and we can spruce up the place. Amen. But Jesus said he came not to spruce up the buildings. Amen. But he came to seek and to save the lost. Everything that Jesus does is about reaching souls. And I want you to know if you're saved, let's glorify God. But there's a mission that God's given you. And that mission that God's given you is to reach the lost. Jesus, how many of you know that Jesus is in heaven right now? How many of you know he's on the throne? Hallelujah. He's resurrected. Amen. And he's on the throne. Hallelujah. But his Holy Spirit is filling the church today. Amen. And his mission has not stopped. His mission has not changed. He's not given us an ulterior mission. He's not changed his mind on what he wants to do. He still wants to seek and to save the lost. Amen. And in order to do that, he pours out his Spirit on the church, and then he sends us out into our community. Here in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul's writing this letter to the church, and they know the Apostle Paul because this is where he was put in prison at. Amen. It's a good thing sometimes to suffer for the Lord. And sometimes we don't want to suffer for the Lord. We don't want the hard things to come our way. But it has, God uses those times. It has a way of getting us to get our priorities back where they're supposed to be. Amen. How many of you ever had a time when you had to buckle down? Amen. There was a time you had to roll up your sleeves and you had to buckle down. Maybe on you spending too much money on this, or maybe you were doing too much over here, and you had to kind of reorganize and reprioritize what is the most important thing in your life. And it's no different with the gospel. There's times that our priorities get out of whack. And I want to tell you before we come up in this new year, God wants us to get our priorities back where they're supposed to be. God wants us to get right back where our priorities are supposed to be. Now, we could all be worried about everything under the sun. Everybody in the world's worried about the election coming up. Everybody in the world's worried about the money. Everybody in the world's worried about COVID. Everybody in the world's worried about worldly stuff. Amen? But God told you not to worry. Amen? God told us not to worry, to not be careful for anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. Amen? Listen to this in Philippians chapter 1. Paul is writing this letter, and he says in verse number 9, he said, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." It's his, this first part, he's making sure the church knows, I want you to grow. I want to see growth in you. I'm writing this letter so that things can happen in your life. Amen. How many of you know God wants things to happen in you? God wants to see you grow. God wants to see you go forward. And he sends his word and he sends his spirit so that the child of God, our roots can grow deeper. And that the fruit of God can begin to manifest in our life. But notice what he says in the next verse. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I want to stop right there for a second. I want to tell you, sometimes when you serve God, not everything goes your way. Amen? How many of you have heard that saying, I took one step forward, Pastor, but then I took two back? I started out and I did A, B, and C. I did what I was supposed to do. And yet, look at me. Look what's happened. See, the Apostle Paul, he had all kinds of issues going on. He was put in prison. He was beaten. He was stoned. He had all kinds of afflictions. He actually ended up losing his head, literally. Had his head severed from his body for the gospel's sake. So if anybody ever had one of those badges where they say, "Hey, Pastor, look what's going on in my life. I'm following the Lord," and look, it was him. But I want you to see what he said. He said, "These things have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's mindset was that these things that have happened to me, God's going to use them to get a testimony and to be glorified. See, there's things that happen in our life and we don't want them to happen. Nobody ever wants a bad thing to happen to anybody. Amen. But God uses tragedy and God uses the valleys and God uses the sorrows and God uses the setbacks. But if you'll keep your heart set upon God, God will use those things for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, you'll be able to give God glory in your testimony and say, "You know what? There was a time in my life when this went wrong and that went wrong. And there was a time when I was going this way and the train just derailed me this way." There's times in our life that things happen. And I want you to see that it happens to everybody. Everybody in 2023 had something happen. Everybody in life has had stuff happen. But you've got to make a choice whether you're going to allow that thing to hold you back and to be a stone holding you down, or it's going to be one of those things that glorifies God and works out for the furtherance of the gospel. There's only two possibilities. That thing's going to weigh you down, or it's going to glorify God. And it depends upon how you handle it. And I want you to know tonight, God wants to get you to the place to where you look at the situations of your life, where you look at the situations that are going on, and you say, "You know what? I wish things would have went different, but praise God, this is going to work out for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm going to be able to tell somebody that even if your spouse leaves you, God won't forsake you. I'm going to be able to tell somebody that even when a loved one passes on, God will sustain you even through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to be able to tell someone that when I'm not feeling well and my body's not working right, that God's still firing on all cylinders on the inside." Amen. "That the fire of God still flows in my soul even when the world comes against me." See, Paul had this outlook on it that no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to glorify God. How many of you know the book of Revelation? It tells us that the saints of God, they overcome by two things. Y'all remember what they are? By what? The word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. These are the two things that God's given us to be overcomers in this world. The word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And see, some of us, we look at these situations and we go, look at this setback. Look at this. I knew I shouldn't have done this. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Look, if everything was the way it's supposed to be, it would have worked out different. No, God's given you a testimony and you're just not looking at it. You're not seeing what God's doing. Amen. Paul had the worst experience. He was stoned. He was beaten with a rod. He was left for dead. I don't know if you've ever been stoned before, but people that throw stones to kill people, they are very good at it. They don't stop throwing stones till you're dead. Tradition says after Paul was stoned to death, he came back to life, and he walked with a humpback. His face was permanently disfigured, and he had to drag his leg as he walked. How's that for the prosperity gospel? And yet, in all the situations that he lived in, he did not feel sorry for himself. He said, these things are working out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, he looked at his situation, but he wasn't focused on self. He was focused on Savior. And this is a determination. If you're going to go forward in 2024, you're going to have to make this determination in your life to stop focusing on self and focus on Savior. I promise you, the more you focus on you, the less joy, the less peace, and the less power of God you're going to have. But the more you focus on Savior, the more joy, the more peace, and the more power of God you're going to have. God is simple, and the way to access God's power is simple. God hasn't changed. And if you focus on self, you're going to short circuit yourself. That's how God operates. So we see this furtherance of the gospel that Paul had, and I want to just, as we start out this message, I want you to see the power in this. I want you to see the power in it. Because none of us have suffered like Paul have. None of us have. None of us have. And yet he looked at it as an opportunity that the gospel would go forward. And I want to tell you that the things that have happened in your life, those things, God wants to use those things to further his gospel. God wants to reach your neighbors, and he wants to reach your family members. He wants to reach those around you with the gospel. But we've got to get the same mindset as Paul said. Now, as we go through this book, I want to show you a couple of other things in this. If you will, turn with me to chapter number 3. I want to show you that Paul gets down to the nitty-gritty in all of chapter 3. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to get a portion of it just so that you can get a glimpse of this mindset. There's a pursuing and a pressing evermore in a singular manner that God's called us to. And we see it kind of played out here in Philippians chapter 3. Let's start with verse number 8. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I want you to see that. Suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, I'm going to continue on, but I want to touch on this part right here. Paul says in verse number 8 that the goal was the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The goal is not a better life. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't golf clap on me now. The goal, if you're going to have the walk that God wants you to have, the goal is the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to know him, to love him, to have fellowship and communion with him. Amen? The goal is Jesus. The goal is not a white picket fence. The goal is not a two-story house. The goal is not a Cadillac. Amen? The goal is not a Rolls Royce or a Rolex. The goal is Jesus, to know him. Amen? To know him. Now, here's the thing I want you to see as we go forward is that this mindset that God has given, there's another passage where God said he wants the same mindset to be in you that was in Jesus. It's the same mindset. Now, look at verse number 12. This is where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing. Somebody say one thing. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As Paul begins that in verse number 12, he said, look, I don't count myself as I've already attained. I'm not already perfect. I'm not. Paul, he had this way of looking at the situation, and he said, I've not arrived. You know, one of the saddest realities in the church world is when somebody believes they've arrived. Right? That's when they begin to, point out the faults in everybody else. Right? How many of you know that my mom used to teach me, when you point your finger at somebody else, there's three pointing back, right? And it's easy to find the faults in everybody else. We can pick them apart. Amen. You can be one of those people that go to the mall and be a mall watcher and pick people apart. Oh, look at what he's wearing. Can you believe that? God didn't call you to be a picker, a parter of men. Paul says here, he said, I've not arrived, I've not attained, I'm not already perfect. And if anybody in the Word of God outside of Jesus would have gone there, it would have been him. You go back and you look in the book of Acts, whenever the sons of Sceva began to try to cast out demons, that demon said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, we don't know you. Who are you? If you think about that, the demons knew Paul. The demons knew Jesus. They didn't know those sons of Sceva. So if anybody has any kind of weight on the matter outside of Christ, it would be Paul. And yet he says, I've not arrived. I've not attained. I'm not perfect. Well, what are you? I'm striving. I'm moving forward in God. That's what I am. I'm not resting on the lees. I'm not sitting back. I'm not stoic. I'm not massaging my beard and picking apart everybody's faults. I'm not surveying everyone and relaying their shortcomings to the world. What am I doing? I'm striving. I'm reaching forward. I'm letting go of yesterday. I'm letting go of what's behind me, and I'm reaching forward to what's before me. When you have a heart like that, what's before you? Your Savior. What's before you? Christ Jesus. You see, there's something that you've got to have before you. You've got to have a goal. Paul's goal plainly says in verse number 14, his goal was Jesus. What's yours? What's yours? You know that one of the things that they teach people is that if you're going to go forward in God, you have to get that mark set. You have to pick that mark in Christ Jesus and follow after that mark. Amen? Now, here we see this important reality. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. There's a lot of people that have lost their fire because they've become stoic and somber in their walk with God. They've become regulated and regulators of everything that is righteous. They are stoic and somber in their walk with God. What happened? They lost their fire. Amen. They would rather point out the faults in others than to look to the perfect Creator. Amen. How many of you know that whenever you look at Jesus, there's going to be some things that He touches on in you? Amen. But it's a lot easier to look for the faults in others than to bring our hearts before God and let the Lord deal with us on our issues. We get it backwards. And Paul kind of starts it out here, and he said, first thing that you need to know is that he doesn't even count himself as that he already attained. But what does he do? Look at that in verse number 12. But I follow after. Follow. This word should ring a bell in you. If you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, Jesus told you to follow him. We put it on our shirts, right? Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of what? Men. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Well, I've heard one pastor say, if you're not a fisher of men, you're not following Jesus. That's rough on some folks, but it's true. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But from the very beginning, when you chose Jesus, when you came to him and you surrendered to him, you said, I'm going to follow this man. I'm going to follow Christ Jesus. Amen. And in this life of following God, sometimes gets complicated, don't it? Amen. It's challenging sometimes. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by what? Force. It's not easy. It's not easy to live a crucified life. When you wake up with your flesh every day, there's a call of God on your life to live a crucified life, but your flesh wakes up every day. That's a daily battle. It's a daily walk. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? And yet there's a promise of God attached. It says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's so much in this that I want to touch on tonight. But the first thing I want you to see is God has called you and he's called me to be a follower. You can't go forward in God if you're not following Jesus. You can't. There's no amount of anointing from evangelists with their scarves that can knock you down, that can knock sense into you. If you're not going to follow Jesus, you're not going to go forward in God. You can say all you want to say and go all the places you want to go, but it comes down to the root and marrow of the issue. We have been called to step the steps of obedience in following Jesus. Not men. Jesus. Amen. He said, I follow. This is the life of a disciple. A disciple follows Jesus. Now, one of the things I want you to see is that some people, they make shipwreck of their faith. Paul talks about it. He names names. They made shipwreck of their faith because they began to involve things into their walk with God that shouldn't be there. And I want to tell you, it's possible for you to make shipwreck of your faith too. If the Word of God has any kind of the Word of God has any kind of warning, one of the warnings that God has is that he's called us to make sure that we're following him, to make sure that we're following him, that our steps are ordained by God. A lot of people, they get puffed up with pride. They get stoic. They get somber. They get better than everybody else. And they're very quick to point out the faults in others, but they do not want you to touch on any of their issues. Amen? But here's something I want you to see. In order for you to be this follower that God's called you to be, in order for you to go, and I believe this is a word for 2024, okay? In order for you to be the man and the woman of God in this upcoming year, there's a couple of things that following precludes, okay? It's two things, the forgetting what's behind and reaching forth to what's before. These are two things I believe God wants you to do to be his disciple in this upcoming year. You're going to have to forget what's behind, and you're going to have to reach forward to what's before you. Now, a lot of times whenever you see this word, whenever Paul says in verse number 13, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and I had you say that back, right? So we're all on the same page. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, most people, when you talk about we need to forget, we need to move on, they're thinking of the bad things. Right? How many of you want to forget the bad things? Raise your hand if you want to forget the bad. Okay, I'm not alone. We want to let the bad die. We want to let it go. Amen? We want it to go to that sea of forgetfulness. Amen? But God's not necessarily talking about the bad right here. He's talking about the good. See, if you go back up in this same chapter, Paul actually said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Jew of the Jews. He had the book knowledge. He had the accolades. He had the birthright. He had a lot of the good things. But I want to tell you, it's not only the bad things that God's calling you to forget, but it's also the good things. What do we mean by that? Listen, y'all know whenever the nation of Israel was delivered out of Egypt, God gave them bread every day. Amen? God gave manna to the children of Israel every day. But do you remember the condition? You remember the condition? They had to come to God every day for it. If they brought bread into their home and they tried to store it up for the next day, what happened to the bread? It rotted. It got worms in it. Amen? You know how many Christians are holding on to yesterday's manna? I mean, you're never going to be able to go forward if you're holding on to yesterday's manna. Listen, the good and the bad. You had some victories yesterday. Hallelujah. That's yesterday. That's yesterday's manna. God's called you to let those things go because today's a new day. Amen? Let go of yesterday's manna. The manna is a good thing. Praise God for whatever happened yesterday. But yesterday's over. There was a time in my life, there are certain situations in my life when the power of God's come on me, the presence of God has flooded my soul, I've had tears, snot running down my face, I've had just the power of God knock me down. But I need the power of God today. That's yesterday's manna. That did something for me yesterday, but today is a new day. And I want to tell you that 2024 is a new year. And you can't live off the manna from 2023. You can't live off the manna of yesterday. Even the good things, even the blessed things, those things will not sustain you tomorrow. Tomorrow's a new day. And God has called you to come to Him and take that manna afresh in the morning. Amen. God has called you to this place to where yesterday's manna you let go of and you come back to God daily for the new manna. One of the things about manna that it did is it humbled the nation of Israel. You see, they wanted a storehouse. They wanted all that they could get the first day. They wanted to go like to Sam's. They wanted to go get the extra pack of macaroni. They wanted a big, huge thing. You know, a lot of people are doing that right now. They're storing all their food, right? It's like during COVID, everybody stored toilet paper. We want all that stuff so that we don't have to go back to the store and buy it again. And it's the same thing with God. We want that one time we go to the altar. We want that one time that we get everything and we never have to go back to that altar. We never have to go back to that altar. We never have to go to that place of brokenness again. Well, I cried in church one time 200 years ago. I allowed the Spirit of God to humble me and break me down 200 years ago. I had my heart softened to the gospel 200 years ago. But ever since then, I've been stoic and somber, ready to read everybody their rights for not being as righteous as me. See, God has called us to this place to where we go to Him daily for that new bread. The manna in that passage is representation of Jesus. It is that representation of the Word of God, our daily needs, what we need from God every day, the spiritual food from heaven. God has called you to live by that Word of God every day. Amen? He said, man's not called to live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, you can't live off of yesterday's bread. I ate good yesterday. We had a good old turkey sandwich. It was good. But I promise you, I was hungry at lunch today. You understand what I'm saying? In the spirit realm, God has called us to hunger and thirst after Him daily. And if you ever stop hungering and thirsting after God, then you're full of something else. You're full of the world, full of yourself, full of pride, full of something. But until we come to that place to where we're hungering and thirsting after God again, God won't touch us with a 10-foot pole. God required Israel to come every day and take the manna. They had to go out. They got a little basket. They take their little basket and get their little portion for their little family. But they couldn't get more than their portion for that day. And that's a word to you, to you, that God has called you to go get your portion. There's a portion with your name on it. The Holy Spirit is not a derelict father. He's not impotent. He is not without his ability to sustain you, to feed you, to free you. There is a portion of heaven's manna with your name. See, whenever God gave that manna to the nation of Israel, how many of you know God's not a wasteful God? He's not a wasteful God. He had a portion for every one of those people. And not one more. And I'm telling you today, God's got a portion for you. He knows you by name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your setbacks. And he knows how to minister the Spirit of God to you, to sustain you, to heal you, to deliver you, and to make you free. But you've got to come daily. You've got to come daily. You've got to bring yourself to the Lord. Amen. You know, whenever they would come daily before God and get that manna, they had to only pick up what was intended for them. Amen. See, whenever we're picking up all that manna, I'm not thinking about tomorrow, and I'm not thinking about everybody else. It's that time where I'm coming to God because I need his manna. I need his manna. And if we're not spending that before God, if we're not spending our heart upon God and loving God that way, then we're missing out. And I want to tell you, you'll never go forward in God. This is the way that you follow God. You forget those things behind. You forget the manna of yesterday. You forget the manna of last year, but you go forward to the manna of today. You forget those things behind. Paul said earlier in this passage that he counted all those things but dung. He counted all those things but dung. He let go of everything, all his worldly titles, all his accolades in the world, all the things that he had done, he let them go. You see, whenever, and I'll just tell you this, you know, whenever I go before the Lord in prayer and I get on my face and I seek the Lord, I don't say, Lord, I did awesome work yesterday. I preached, I prayed, I gave, I did all the, that's not how you come to God, is it? You come to God in brokenness and humility. You come to God because of what he did, not because of who you are or what you've done. When you start hanging your hat on who you are and what you've done, you're living off of yesterday's manna. You're no longer broken and ready to receive today's outsource from heaven. And God's giving you this invitation to come to him daily, to forget those things behind. Amen. Yesterday, some people, they will not forget yesterday's manna. They just keep living off of it. I got a word for you, too. Some people hold on to yesterday's misery. Some people are holding on to yesterday's manna, and some people are holding on to yesterday's misery. But God called you to no longer be identified with your past. The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that old things are passed away and all things are made new in Christ Jesus. If old things are passed away, that means the things of yesterday are gone. And if you're going to be a new creature, if you're going to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to let some things go. In order for you to be who God wants you to be, you can't be, can I get a testimony real quick? You can't be old and new at the same time, can you? Can you? Can you be old and new at the same time? Like, we're about to go into a new year. Is it going to be the old year and the new year at the same time? When that clock strikes 12, the old's gone and the new has come. Can I get a witness? In the same way in your life, when Christ comes, when the Spirit of God comes in your life, The old is gone and the new has come. You've got to be willing to let go of the old in order for the clock to strike 12 and be that new creation in Christ Jesus. God has called you. If you're going to go forward in God and follow after God, one of the callings that God's got on your life is to forget yesterday's manna and forget yesterday's misery. It's gone. It's done. Amen. You're either a new creation in Christ Jesus or you're still the old man. Let me show you something in let me show you something in Luke chapter 18. Keep your finger here, but I want to show you something in Luke chapter number 18. And it's a choice that God gives all of us. You know, one of the things that God was speaking to me on is on this message is, you know, sometimes we hold our head on the way God operated yesterday. Amen. But God never operates in those old ways, those old songs. He operates in old paths. Okay, if you'll hearken back to Jeremiah. It's that old path is that broken and contrite spirit with faith alone on Christ Jesus. Those old paths of repentance. God's looking for us not to sing the songs of a revival from 200 years ago, but God's calling on us to have revival today, okay? There's a big difference in that. But some of us, we can't let go of things. And you're going to have to let go of things to go forward in God. In Luke chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 18, it says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Let me help you out here just for a second in passing. Jesus is saying, don't call me good until you're ready to call me God. Don't give me this false humility. Oh, good sermon, but not do it. Good preacher, but not do it. Good man. Jesus said, don't call me good until you're ready to call me God, is what he's meaning here. Now, continuing on, he says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Follow me. See, it's not just God's not just looking for him to distribute his goods. He's not just looking for this man to bring a sacrifice. He's not just looking for this outward action. But he said, do this because Jesus knows what this man loves most. This man didn't love God most. This man loved his treasures on earth most. And Jesus puts his finger directly on the issue. How many of you know Jesus has his way of putting his finger on the issue? I'll never forget one time I was preaching a sermon and I was talking about the woman caught in adultery, and this woman cornered me after service and she said, how dare you expose to everybody that I prostituted myself? I had no idea. I wasn't talking about that. But how many of you know the Holy Spirit was touching on that issue in that woman and she got mad at the preacher, right? But the Lord has his way of putting his finger on the issue. And here he's talking to this rich young ruler. And he says, hey, it's good that you've kept all the commandments. How many of you know it's good to keep the commandments? We want all our children to mind their P's and Q's. We want them to do everything they're supposed to do. Make them behave. Make them look cute. Make them wear the right clothes. Make them sit up. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Open the door for the older folks, right? We want them to do all those things. But he said, but there's something you lack. God's not first. God's not first. God is just something you do. God, these commandments are something you have to do. These commandments don't come from a place of love. They don't come from a place of your heart. And Jesus said, sell everything. Distribute everything. Let go of everything. And follow me. This is the word again, follow. Follow. In order for you to follow, you've got to let go of who you are. You've got to let go of your past, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, in order for you to be the man or woman of God he's called you to be. In order for 2024 to be a godly year, you're going to have to let go of the past. And this man, Luke, this man wasn't willing to let go. This man wasn't willing to let go. What a sad reality. What a sad reality. And it's a shame, but this man, his failure to follow Jesus is written for us to read and understand and listen to the warning. Look what it says in the next verse. It said, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. What was his priority in life? Not God. His priority was wrong. And we'll talk about money here, but it could be anything. Some people, their priority is getting married, having kids, making money. Some people's priority is a reputation in the community. But God's calling upon you is to let go of you and make him the priority number one. Until we do that, we're not ready to follow him. God has called us to this place of letting go of who we were and reaching forth to Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, things happen and we get sidetracked. I'm going to touch on this in just a second, but let's flip back over there to Philippians chapter 3. I want to show you one other thing, and then I'm going to touch on ways that we get sidetracked in the church. God's calling upon us to no longer identify with the past. Some of us, you know, there's you have the Apostle Paul. There were murderers, there were thieves, there were fornicators, there were adulterers, there were people that were full of lust and pride. There was drunkards, there was all kinds of folks, but God delivered them. Amen. They didn't remain the way that they were. And in order for you to go forward in God, you've got to do the same thing. Now, it says in this verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's the first mistake a lot of folks make. You know, the devil loves to circumvent what God wants to do. The devil loves to preemptively strike before you become an on-fire man or woman of God. The devil wants you to think you've got it. You've apprehended everything. Amen. The devil wants you to believe that, you know, you no longer have a need like Paul is talking about here. But he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not only a letting go, but it's also a reaching forward. God's calling you not only to let go of who you were and what you've done and the setbacks, the misery and the manna of yesterday, not only to let those things go, but actually moving forward. God's called you to press. Look at that word he says in verse 14. He said, I press. I press. This is not a casual Christianity. This is not a, well, if I feel like it, I may go to church next year. This is not a indifferent walk with God. It's not a boring walk with God. He said, I press. Now, a pressing that Paul's talking about here is whenever we see anything in our life that is not lined up with the way that we want it to go, we address that issue. You know, they say that people that are in the Olympics, they'll go and they'll train their bodies. They'll only eat, you know, lean meat chicken and no bread, and they'll work out. They'll wake up at 4 in the morning and work out and eat right and go work out again and take a nap and go work out again. And they do that all for a little bitty medal. Very, very rigid in their pressing toward their prize. And yet in Christianity, we have a greater prize. Our prize is Jesus. Our prize is Jesus. And yet, how many Christians miss the prize because they don't press? Well, I don't want to press. That sounds like it's hard, Pastor. It sounds like that don't sound fun to press. Well, it probably didn't sound fun to that rich young ruler to sell all his goods and then follow Jesus, did it? And yet we look at that and we say, oh, I would have, how many of you, if Jesus was right here and he told you to let go of everything else and follow him, Would you do it? Would you do it? See, we look at the apostles. We look at Peter and James and John. These men, they let go of their business at one word of Jesus. One word. Jesus said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped their nets, gave their boats to their fathers, and they followed Jesus from that point forward, didn't they? Is it any easier for us? Shouldn't be. There's a pressing that must be. Paul said he pressed, and this is the key, I believe, is this pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward the mark. In order to do that, I'm going to show you two different passages. Number one, I'm going to show you Hebrews chapter 12. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm going to show you that one, and then I'm going to show you one more where people get sidetracked on. Hebrews chapter number 12. In order to press forward, we have to make sure that there's nothing in our life that is impeding us. Every one of us, we have different challenges. Amen. Sometimes I've heard it said that the biggest enemy you have is me. Amen. It's getting self going. Amen. Stop believing the enemy and stop letting your flesh rule over your life. The Word of God clearly says if you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says here in chapter 12, read with me verses 1 and 2. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, The thing I want you to see here is that there's a laying aside of the weight. There are things that weigh us down in life. And I want you to see clearly from the Word of God, there are things that will weigh you down. I really don't have to tell you that, but I just want you to see the Word of God says it. Amen. This is not some psychology mumbo jumbo. This is not some psychobabble. There literally are things in life that will weigh you down. But that's not the end of the story, is it? The Word of God says, lay those things aside. There's something more beautiful than that weight, and that more beautiful is Jesus. There's a calling of God on our life to lay aside the weights. Lay aside those things. Say, you know what, Lord? You're the prize I seek. You're the prize of my soul. And he says here, lay aside those weights and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let me tell you, a besetting sin, the word beset in the definition of it is like a shoelace that's untied. Now, a shoelace that's untied, when you realize it's untied, what does everybody do? Tie it. I mean, if you know how to tie a shoe, right? But a besetting sin is when you know it's untied, but you just keep walking. You know it's untied. You know you need to handle that issue, but you just keep walking. That's a besetting sin. That'll trip you up. Every time you get to moving forward, that shoelace is going to hit at the wrong time, isn't it? And God has called us to take that inventory, to let the searchlight of the Holy Ghost look at us. And when we see those weights, to let them go. And when we see those besetting sins, he's calling upon us to lay those things down. Because God has called you to run a race. A race with patience, but God has called you to run a race. You are called to follow God from this day. The day that you say yes to Jesus. The day that you realize that your sin has separated you from God. The day you realize that God has had mercy upon you when he incarnated in flesh and died on the cross and rose on the third day. Realizing that you can't work yourself back to righteousness with God, but God would impute his righteousness to you by faith. If when you realize your great need of God, then you're willing to let those things go. What I find most of the time when people aren't ready to let go of the weights and they allow their shoelaces to stay untied, when they allow the besetting sin to remain in their life, what I find most time is these are the people that really don't realize their great need of God. Because when you know that you need God, nobody keeps you from Him. One of my favorite stories in the Word of God is a woman that knew she needed God. She knew she needed God. And I love that because it correlates to our walk with God. And if you know that you need God, nobody will keep you from Him. She had this issue of blood. And can I tell you, we have an issue of sin. She had an issue of blood. We have an issue of sin. And she went to all the doctors in the town, and nobody could fix her. And you see, you've got an issue of sin, and you can go to Dr. Phil, and you can go to Oprah, and you can go to First Second Church and get some religion. You can go to everybody under the sun, but until you come to Jesus, you're not going to get healed. You're not going to get set free. God's not going to do anything in your life until you bow that knee and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And this woman with this issue of blood, and we have an issue of sin, this woman with this issue of blood, nobody stopped her. She pressed through. She pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus. It could have cost her her life. It could have cost her her life, but she valued getting to Jesus more than any kind of worldly pride or reputation. And what I find most of the time when somebody has a besetting sin or a weight that they allow to remain that keeps them back from God, it's because they don't realize they're bleeding out. She knew that if she didn't get healed, she was going to bleed out. She had bled for years. Nobody could help her. Some of us, we've got an issue with, some of us, we've got an issue with pornography. Some of us got an issue with drugs. Some of us got an issue with alcohol. Some of us got an issue with pride. Some of us are too dignified to get right with God. David said he was going to get vile. He was going to act like a fool. You see, some of us, we have those issues, and if you don't recognize your need for God, you're going to bleed out. See, this woman, she recognized. Now, she went to all the doctors in the land. There wasn't one she didn't go to. She spent all her money going to all the men, and nobody could help her. Then she heard about Jesus. She reckoned if she could get to that man named Jesus, she reckoned if she could just get to that man named Jesus, she'd be made whole. And she went and she put her hand on the hem of his garment. And when her faith touched the Lord Jesus Christ, she was made whole that very minute, that very hour. Healing came to her body. And I want to tell you, God's not changed. You may not be able to touch the literal physical robe that she touched, but you can touch his heart with your faith. You can touch his heart with your faith. When you get on your knees and you get on your face before God and you come in brokenness and you come in contrition and you bring your bloody issue to God, touches his heart. You don't have to confess to men what that thing is. Look, you have one high priest, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not in the Levitical priesthood no more. We're under Melchizedek. And Jesus is the high priest. And he said, look, if you'll come to him and bring your bloody issue. I've known people that battled pornography and they wouldn't let anybody help them. I know one man, his wife begged him to get help. Begged him to get help. He's rotting in jail right now. He wouldn't bring his issue to God. Can God touch him there? Sure. But hopefully we don't have to end up like that. There's issues in our life that God has come to set us free from. But just like that woman with the issue of blood, we've got to be willing to press through the crowd and get to the feet of Jesus. And I'm telling you, he will welcome you. He will heal you. He will set you free. Now, the Word of God here says that There's a calling on our lives to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross because there was joy set before him. What's the joy? You. The joy is us. There's not one person on God's green earth that Jesus didn't shed his blood for. Every soul, Jesus made an offering for every soul. He's a propitiation for our sin, and not ours only, but the sin of the world. Doesn't matter, rapists, murderers, foul mouths, thieves, those filled with pride and envy, it doesn't matter. Jesus went to that cross for each and every one of us. But what's he waiting on? He's waiting on us to realize we're bleeding out. He's waiting on us to realize our great need of our great Savior. He's waiting on us to press through the crowd and to get to his feet. And I want to tell you, as we come into this upcoming year, I believe God's calling on our life is this, to pursue and to press like never before. I believe that this upcoming year is a year God's called us to get back to the root of who we are. Disciples that follow Jesus, letting go of the things of yesterday, letting go of the misery and letting go of the manna of yesterday, and pressing forward to the prize, which is Jesus. Pressing through the crowd. If we're bleeding, bring it to Jesus. If we're hurting, bring it to Jesus. If we're misfiring, bring it to Jesus. But God has called us to pursue and to press like never before. And I want to invite you tonight. I want to invite you tonight to give your heart afresh to God as we come up into this new season. I believe God has called you to a new walk. A new walk. And tonight, if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And we're gonna allow the Lord to do whatever he desires to do tonight. One of the things that happens in our life, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase before, but sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill. And sometimes the enemy gets us sidetracked. And we begin to belabor the smaller things. We begin to belabor those things that really are insignificant. And we let go of the greater thing. What's the greater thing right now? Jesus. Jesus is the greater thing. Amen? Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity.